We're in our series, Drawing Near to God Through His Name. And the names of God really tell us about God and His character, His promises, who He is, what He will do. As we study the names of God, we've learned that God is our banner. He is the sure sign of victory in our lives. Aren't you glad about that? He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. And tonight we're learning that He is our shepherd. Say it with me, if you would, just the first verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that wonderful? It's kind of like a little girl said as she was misquoting the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, what more shall I want? That little girl understood that the Lord is all that we need. And as you go through this psalm, you find that we can refer to many names of God, that He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He restores our soul. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And of course, tonight we learn that He is Jehovah Roi, the Lord, our shepherd. There is someone who is watching after us. And so we're going to read Psalm 23, and then we're going to see what the shepherd does in our lives. We're going to look at verses 3 through 6. But let's begin with verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we think about Your Word tonight, we ask that You would shepherd our souls, that You would tell us where to go, where to eat, that You would tell us that You love us and comfort us with Your voice. I pray for each one here that, Lord, we would have the real understanding of Your presence tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has promised to lead us? He's promised to show us the way. Often, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. I mean, I understand generally what He wants me to do, but there comes times where I have decisions that I need to make, and I just don't know what to do. Maybe you've crossed that bridge sometime this week. And there are often times in our lives where we have major bridges that are out. We don't know how to get across or where to go if that bridge is broken. But aren't you glad that we have a shepherd that we can follow, that knows all the ways? He's been through the path, and He has promised to lead us. Look at this. In verse 3, we pick up after our message from Sunday night. We pick up in verse 3, and it says, He leads me to paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, sheep often go astray. I saw this article about some sheep in New Zealand. Apparently, there are more sheep in New Zealand than there are human beings. And I saw this article about a flock of sheep, and the picture on the article was this flock of sheep at the bottom of a precipice, of a cliff. And what had occurred was one sheep decided to jump off of the precipice and the shepherd was wandering. And so the sheep jumped off and then another sheep and another sheep until the entire herd had jumped off of the cliff. You know, if we're not in line with our shepherd, we're prone to follow the person in front of us, aren't we? We're just like sheep. The problem there is that it will inevitably lead us to disaster. We need our shepherd to lead us. We need his wisdom. And do you know that he speaks to us through the voice of the Word of God and through his Holy Spirit? We've got to be able to listen to the voice of our shepherd. And he leads us to the best paths, but not necessarily the easiest paths. God knows exactly what paths we need to go through. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. That means that it's the pathway that is exactly what will conform you to the righteousness that is in God, conform you to the image of Jesus. God has promised to lead you, not for your comfort, but so that you might look like Jesus at the end of this life. And that means that it's not always the most comfortable paths, but they are the best paths he's promised to lead us through. Now, we think about how sheep are creatures of habit and they love their comfort zone. The problem with this is that if a herd of sheep stay in the same place, what will occur is that they will lack sufficient grazing grass. And if they stay there, often parasites will come and infest the ground and they will become sick. The sheep will become sick. And so the shepherd's job, almost constantly, he's looking for new, fresh grazing ground for those sheep. He's always constantly looking where the best grass is to bring those sheep so that they can feed. Do you know that we're a lot like sheep? We don't like to leave our comfort zone. And often God brings us to very difficult places. Sometimes the best grass to eat is a little bit of a climb. Or maybe it's down descent into the valley. And sometimes we get tired, don't we, in life. And there are difficult days that God brings us to. But he brings us to those difficult days so that we could find good grazing in his word. Because if it weren't for those difficult days, we wouldn't get to that good grass. We wouldn't just see the need of God in our lives if we didn't have those difficult days. You know the verses very well in the book of James, chapter 1. He says, we shouldn't be despondent when we come to those difficult days, like we often are. He says that we should count it all what? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You might say, why? When you come to that difficult day, why my health? Why does my health have to suffer? Why do I have to live where it's cold? Now, not all of you have that problem. You can go to Arizona if you want, but some days you might say, why this marriage, or why this church, or why this job? And what we need to understand is wherever God leads us, he leads us to serve him in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He brings us where he wants to bring us for his own glory. And we don't always understand why. I think about Ann and Iram Judson, who went to Burma. And there, year after year, he believed that God had sent him there to raise up at least 100 believers. He believed that. And he went there and he buried his first wife. and he buried a child, and he buried his second wife. And yet there was just a couple of converts. And it seemed that was the right time to go home. At least that would have been what we would have said. But no, Adoniram Judson stayed in the hard place because he had believed that God had called him there. And not only are there 100 believers in Burma today, there are over 100 churches in Burma today because of the work of Adoniram Judson. Before he died, there were over 100 churches. Now, I don't know why God brings you to a difficult place, whether it be in your health or in a relationship. Or it just might be a phone call that you receive and a friend or a loved one. There's some confusion there. You don't understand what's going on in their life and you want to help them and you're in a difficult place. But God is using that. He's got His reasons. And our duty is not to ask why. Our duty is to obey. We are to obey. How do you get to the new ground, the fresh grass? You obey God by hearing His voice and following what you hear. You follow the voice of the Savior in the Word of God. Obedience is how you grow. Obedience in trials, obedience in difficulties. As you ascend the difficult mountain or descend into the difficult valley. And then, as God's sheep, I am not free to choose my own way. We know what happens when sheep choose their own way. They get lost and they are utterly defenseless. You know, when a sheep gets turned over, he's got so much wool, he can't turn himself back upright. Are we often that way? We don't have the luxury of knowing all things that God knows. And so we must follow His voice regardless of whether we understand or not. We don't have the luxury of choosing our own way. And if you do choose your own way, remember what the wise person in Proverbs said in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to what? To death. To death. You know, our heart, the Scripture says in Jeremiah 17 in verse 9, is desperately wicked. So much so that we can't even understand our own heart. And often we think we've got the right idea, but if we don't check it with the Word of God and submit our wills to God through the Holy Spirit in prayer, we almost every time will go astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We're very good at it. We've turned everyone to His own way. And you may find yourself gone astray, but remember, the Lord has laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. You are not able to save yourself or to bring yourself in the right way. You've got to go to the Lord, and He makes it right. He puts us back in the right place. I want you to turn over to John chapter 10, which is a sweet and tender passage that tells us of Christ's love as the Good Shepherd. We find that Christ as the Good Shepherd is the only way that we should follow. He says in verses 1 and 2, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So what is someone who doesn't come through the shepherd? What does he say? A thief and a robber. I want you to consider that Christ is the only right way. He's the only one that we should follow. Other ways may sound plausible. Don't follow them. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. You cannot walk in the paths of righteousness aside from being in Christ and following His voice. There is no other way. Say that with me. There is no other way. One more time. There is no other way. Christ is the only way. But look at this. He's the only voice we should follow. Look at verses 3 through 5. To Him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice. The sheep can't get away from the shepherd. You know, often you'll hear, "I found the Lord in 1990. You know what? The Lord wasn't lost. The Lord didn't need to be found. We were the ones who were lost. And I know what people mean when they say that, and we take their sincere heart as it is. But truly, we were not seeking after God, but God was seeking after us and calling our name and coming after us and bringing all kinds of circumstances that each one of you could stand up here tonight and talk about that were just unusual divine appointments where you heard His voice. It may be through a loved one. It may be through a radio program. It may be through a preacher or a church or a friend. But you heard the voice of God. You almost had tunnel vision or tunnel hearing, we should say, where there was this sense that you were being spoken to by deity, by Almighty God. And you understood who Jesus was. You remember that day? You remember that time? And it's just continued. And then we have to be careful of those who try to imitate the voice of Christ, but their motives are not to please Christ. They are only hired hands. Look at John 10 and then verse 5. A stranger, those sheep will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what He was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." Christians, as they grow, begin to understand that there are counterfeit shepherds. There are many, brothers and sisters, who name the name of Christ, who will even preach expositorily from the Scriptures, but their agenda and their motives are not pure. The apostles dealt with people like this, and they came to Jesus. And we thank God for the gospel that is preached, but beware of the motives of hired hands. Amen? Beware of them. They preach the gospel. Yes, they do. And we praise God that Christ is preached, even if it is for impure motives. But there are those who preach Christ, even preach Him rightly with impure motives. You've got to be careful. We need to not listen to a man. We need to listen to Christ. All men are what? Liars. But let God be true. Let God be true. And let all men be liars. They're all liars. We've all had that deceit in our heart. Follow Christ. Follow His voice. And it says, a stranger, they will not follow. Now, that doesn't mean that sheep don't get into those fender benders, so to speak, because we often are tickled by things that are fleshly, and we do get distracted. But aren't you glad for our good shepherd who has that tender voice, "Be still and know that I am God," that still, small voice that speaks to his sheep. When you go astray, you don't go very far off the path before you get that strong conviction from Christ. It's heavy. It's unbearable. And you end up resenting the voice of a stranger. And you say, "Why did I ever go this way? He's a stranger." And you turn around and you follow Jesus anew and afresh. Sometimes that experience is daily. And we've got to grow to the point where we stop listening to the voice of strangers. And we will grow in that way. Well, the Good Shepherd will never lead us except where he himself has already gone. Oh, listen, the shepherd knows the paths. He's been there already. He's scoped them out. He understands the lay of the land. Even though the sheep have never been there, the shepherd has gone before them. Hebrews 4:15 tells us this. Why don't you turn there? Hebrews 4:15 and 16. Why don't we have somebody read that tonight? Hebrews 4:15 and 16. Who would like to read that tonight? Brother Vince.
Hebrews 4:15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen. The shepherd has gone through the paths that we've gone through. Jesus has been tempted in every way that we have been tempted. He's had every possible situation imaginable, every temptation imaginable. Remember that he himself was tempted by Satan himself for 40 days and 40 nights. Did Christ sin? Absolutely not. He is impeccable. He cannot sin. He is God. But he was legitimately tempted in his human nature, and yet without sin, and so he can be a compassionate high priest. Listen, the shepherd has already gone before us. There is nothing that you've been tempted with that is a surprise to the shepherd. There may be a path that you come to and you're surprised, but Jesus Christ, your shepherd, is never surprised. And though you go through sickness and despair, you have to understand that Jesus Christ has been through all of that. Are you facing difficulty with poverty in your finances? Christ has been there. Have you been through losing loved ones? Christ has been there. Are you having a difficult time with just accusations against you? Or maybe your health and is you're on the precipice of difficulties with your health, and it may even look like it's going to be something that you won't survive through. Do you know Christ has been there? Christ was crucified. There's nothing that we are going through that he hasn't already gone through. He's already gone before us. And saints of God, I think we think too little on that. I think we think too little on the suffering that Christ has endured. And why has he endured that suffering, saints? Why? Put your name in that blank. He's got your name written on his hands and graven on his heart. He loves you. And he's gone through all of that so that he can identify with you and be your high priest. Where is Jesus now? Where is your good shepherd? Where is he? He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's interceding on your behalf. He loves you. And He's with you in this difficult place. He's there. He's never forsaken you. He'll never leave you. And then we understand that the shepherd's reputation is at stake. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, the shepherds count their sheep constantly because they are responsible for their welfare. And the reputation of the shepherd is on the line as to how he cares for his sheep. Only a good shepherd doesn't lose the sheep. And God will not lose any one of His sheep, He says. He's going to lead you in the paths of righteousness, not simply for your good. It is for your good. But more than that, it is for His glory. It is for His name's sake. His name is on the line. Christ has become the Redeemer for us. But not primarily for us. Primarily for His name's sake. Remember, throughout the Old Testament, God reminds Israel, it's not because of you that I'm being merciful to you, but for My sake, I am being merciful to you. And then we think about that the shepherd always seeks the sheep. And we mentioned that Christ seeks us. We don't seek Him first. He seeks us. And then we seek Him as He draws us and the Spirit draws us. No man can come to Me, Jesus said, except the Father draw him. Let's go to the second point. The shepherd protects the sheep. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd brings the sheep through hills and valleys, through stormy weather and calm weather. But at the end of the journey, the shepherd is always with the sheep. And even though we walk through the valley, the valleys were many in Israel. Israel's a mountainous region, and there were many, many valleys. Perhaps David wrote this while he was being chased by Saul. And he thought, I'll never make it out of this valley. And he knew about those valleys because he was a shepherd. You see, in the springtime, as the snow is receding from the mountains, the shepherd will lead the sheep to that green spring grass. They'll ascend the mountain as the good weather continues, and they'll get the good pasture. But as autumn comes, they begin to descend down the other side of the mountain. And they eat the grass along the way. But as winter arrives, they need to get down into the valley where the ranch headquarters are, perhaps in a cave or somewhere where the sheep can be sustained and protected. And even though there are wild animals, and there are very dangerous elements down in those valleys, and they seem to be a valley of death, there is nothing to fear. Because as long as the shepherd is near, nothing will harm the sheep. And David understood that. He understood because he was a shepherd. And he was very likely hiding out in some of those caves. And he understood that even though Saul was chasing after him, his enemy, there was nothing to fear. There was nothing that could harm him. Now, it's a valley of the shadow of death because David had seen these wild animals gore people and gore animals, and they were helpless, wandering sheep just eaten alive. And those valleys look very dangerous, but David says it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. It's not reality. Death is something that all of us will experience unless you're part of the last generation of Christians that hear the trumpet sound that will never face death. Death is something that is imminent. We're all going to die. But for the Christian, it's only a shadow. Death's door cannot harm us. It is absolutely victorious. We are looking to go through that death door, and we're going to be on the other side. It is our passageway to true and full life in Christ. And so there's nothing to fear in that valley of death. Now, God certainly has brought all of us here through that valley. Perhaps God has taken a loved one, maybe even a child, someone close to you. And if not a child, a friend or a spouse. And oh, the loneliness of death. When someone is taken in death, you don't see them again in this life. You will see them, if they know the Lord, on the other side. Oh, we know that life is a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. We know that glory and eternity is just a second away. But on this side, it seems so slow, doesn't it, when that loneliness comes upon you for that loved one that you've lost. But listen, the shepherd says that there's nothing to fear because he's with us. And though there be a loneliness, if you know the Lord, he's the friend that you need. He's the one who will really bring satisfaction. And so, we're not to fear the shadow. Satan sometimes makes us tremble with the reality of our sins and with the reality of death, doesn't he? He's a roaring lion, but that's all he can do for us. He cannot harm us. He can only roar. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. Death has no power over you if you are in Christ. And then it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, sometimes I have wondered, what is a rod? I'm so thankful that as believers and in this church, we have chosen to study the Bible verse by verse, word by word, chapter by chapter, book by book. What is a rod? You know, we can read those things and just go right over them. It's a club. Now, why would a club give you comfort? Well, it would give you comfort if the one holding it was the one that loved you and promises to use it for your protection. Do you know that any wild animal, the shepherd would descend with that club and destroy it? Remember what David said? I killed a lion and I killed a bear while I was tending the sheep. And that prepared me, as I was walking with God, to face Goliath. Listen, our shepherd has a club to destroy anyone that would try to harm us. And he has a staff. That staff is used to keep the sheep in line. You've seen it. It's just a shepherd's staff. And it kind of goes gently around the sheep's neck to get them in line. And so these two things, the fact of God's protection and His discipline in our life, should bring us great comfort. Sometimes I like God's club, but I don't necessarily like His staff. I like the fact that God is great and that He's going to destroy all of Christ's enemies. And if I'm in Christ, I have no fear of being destroyed. But His staff, that is a problem with me sometimes. I don't like the difficult things in my life where God reminds me of my deep need of Him. But let's thank God for His staff and His staff of discipline to keep us where we need to be. And sometimes it's simply the fact that God closes a door. where we wanted to go, but he closes it. That's his staff. And he opens another door. That's his staff. He's leading us in the paths of righteousness. And he's comforting us in this valley. I believe another way that we can understand God's staff is his Holy Spirit. As we read the Word of God, we are comforted in the way we should go and in the ways we should not go. We need to have an open heart to the Spirit's leading. Look very briefly in verse 5. The shepherd promises to provide for the sheep. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Now, the shepherd would take the sheep, remember, down into that valley, and there would be wild animals. There would be those who wanted to devour the sheep, the wolves. And yet wild animals would be on the hillside or in the valley, but yet with the presence of the shepherd there would be no harm whatsoever, and the sheep could eat freely with comfort because they knew their shepherd was there. You know, if a soldier eats a meal in the presence of his enemies, it's generally eaten very quickly. But sheep can eat leisurely in the presence of their enemies, and they're all around on the hillside and in the valley. They're always there. But when the shepherd is there, the sheep can eat at ease. And God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I think of Jonathan Edwards. We think sometimes these men who have gone before us and these ladies who have gone before us never had any problems. They just preached the gospel. They were like super Christians. Jonathan Edwards had a controversy in his church after the Great Awakening. He wanted that regenerate people would be admitted to the Lord's table. And in the Presbyterian, Calvinistic, Puritan churches, they would be baptized as children, as infants, but they needed to undergo conversion before they entered into the Lord's table. Well, that practice started to drop off, and everyone was taking communion. And Jonathan Edwards, after this revival, said, you know, we should only admit regenerate children of God to the Lord's table. And he was trying to teach the church through this. Well, unbeknownst to him, there was someone in the congregation stirring up strife. And they drew up papers to cast Jonathan Edwards out of his own church. And the vote was something around 230 to about 30 that he should be removed. And he was removed. And it seemed like a great loss. Years later, there was someone who knew Jonathan Edwards well that had turned on him. And it had been that person in the congregation. It was a person close to his family that had turned on him. And he later confessed and got his sin right with Jonathan Edwards. But Jonathan Edwards was cast out of the church. Do you know that he became a missionary to the Indians for several years? And these are the last years of his life before he was offered the Princeton position. But during those years where he was in the wilderness with the Indians, do you know that that was the most fruitful time of his life as far as writing? He wrote all the major works that we're familiar with. Many of the major works he wrote during that time, and it became a fruitful time. God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You don't have to worry about those who oppose you, even those who will do harm to you and be malicious to you. You don't have to worry about those people. You have a good shepherd. And if God allows your enemies to take advantage of you, it will always work for your own good. You never have to worry about that. So when you feel like you've been taken advantage of, when you feel like you've been defamed, then you need to have courage that God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And it says, you anoint my head with oil. Oil was very important. It repelled insects. it was a special way that the shepherd could comfort his sheep. And you know, sheep are more prone to follow the shepherd when there's less distractions. Because sheep have all these pests flying around them. And do you know that the more obedient sheep are, the easier it is to follow their shepherd? You know, God gives us an oil that guards us from all distractions. He gives us the oil of His Holy Spirit that we can experience as we pray without ceasing. And He gives us the oil of the Word of God. Do you know if you're not in the Word of God regularly, you're not praying and you're not experiencing the renewal of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get distracted. And you're going to get infested. You need that anointing oil on you that protects you. Finally, look at this last verse. Oh, let me mention my cup overflows. The shepherd would often bring a dish, a cup full of water that would just overflow. And wherever you are, you need to understand that Christ has what you need overflowing. What you need is not found outside of Christ. It's found in Christ, and He has abundantly more than what you need. Remember that. So He provides for us. He provides for us even in the presence of our enemies. God will provide for you. And then He makes plans for us. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness is very similar to the New Testament idea of grace. Goodness will follow me. God's favor will follow me all the days of my life. What is God's goodness? It is Him giving us that which we don't deserve. We don't deserve the good things that God gives us. And He gives us, I'm not talking about simply material things, that's just the tip of the iceberg. He gives us eternal life. Do you know that when you die, and that day will come, and when I die, I do not have to fear death because of God's goodness. It follows me all the days of my life. You don't have to please God with your works. In other words, your basis of acceptance with God is not your works. It is His goodness. It's His grace. Cast yourself on Him. And when you do, you will want to obey Him. But your acceptance with God is through His grace. But mercy, what is that? That is God giving us, not giving us what we do deserve. What do we deserve? We don't deserve any of these things. We deserve that we would be cut off from the presence of the Lord. But goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life and confirms in us that we will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long?
Forever.
There's coming a day when He'll wipe away every tear from our eye. And He will be our God and we will be His people eternally. How long's forever? That's a long, long time. Because the Lord is my shepherd. So, let's remember this as we go through these paths, that God is taking us to a destination. What is that destination? Ultimately, it is to be with Him, to enjoy Him forever. Make Him your destination, would you? Wherever you are, make God your destination. Be comforted with the voice of your shepherd. God is Jehovah Roi, the Lord our shepherd.